Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Oh, staying here. You guys are on fire. There's a fire in this place. You're on fire. Come on, you're on fire. You know that you are revival. You're not waiting for revival because you are already it. You are already revival. You are the hope. You are the future of what this city needs. God's giving each and every one of you. I just see you guys, you wanted me to come here to help you hear from God. You're already hearing from Him. You're already hearing from Him. Downloads coming. Downloads are coming today thick and fast like you would never believe. And you're like, wow, God is so good and He's in a good mood. Oh, he sits in the heavens and laughs because He's so pleased with you. He is so pleased. Wow, you guys are fire. So I was just getting lost in there. Every time Jesus shows up, I just get lost in His presence because that's all that matters. Oh, I know as introduced me as a businessman, and yes, I run a ministry called Salt and Light Wealth Academy. We help business people to partner with God at work and see revival in the marketplace. What does revival look like? What does it look like in the marketplace? Means walking in. I've got one retailer that is one of our guys we disciple. And he just walks into a cafe down the road and buys a coffee. And as he's there, he's saying, God, bless this cafe. Bless this place. This cafe's struggling. He's not even talking to the owner. He's just going, I'm just releasing heaven right now in this place. And he turns around and the cafe's full. He's like, whoa. Even the owner's like, how come every time you come here that I am overwhelmed with work? Can you stay? Can you stay here? It's like, because you know what? Jesus is attractive. He's so attractive. I've got a couple of words particularly for this house. I want to bless Az and Beck. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful powerhouse they are. A couple of things. One, this is going to go outside these walls, this worship. I see worship in the park. I just kept seeing you guys just declaring the name of Jesus in the park. You don't care who hurls abuse at you because the ones are going to be drawn like bees to a honeypot and coming in going, whoa, what is this? I've been yearning. You know what? There's people already marked in the city who are called to come here. They just don't know it yet. They're going to come and see you. Yeah. I just really see worship in the park. It was just something that you just start doing. Writing albums. And God's going to take you around the world, starting with Africa, or starting here. But I just see Africa really a key ministry for you guys. Oh, hey, yeah, come on. Who's excited? Who's excited? Cool. Listen, healing's taking place already. Transformation is already in the room. He's already doing work. God is already busy in your finances. Really believe there's someone here that you're struggling under tax debt. Struggling under tax debt. You don't have to put your hand up or anything like that. You can come talk to me afterwards. But if any of you have debt, particularly tax debt, anyone else has debt, just give us a wave. Debt in general. Just debt. All right. I really believe there's an anointing on this house for debts to be cancelled, to be paid off. And I really believe rather than you believing for the money, you are going to believe for houses that are already paid for, cars that are already paid for. Because you know what? When God of abundance, the God of revival is also the God of abundance. And He loves to bless His kids extravagantly because you're a blessing to bless others. He wants His children and the people to go, wow, how is it that you're so blessed? He says, because I do my business under the lordship and the kingdom authority of heaven. And it's business unusual. It looks different. But you know what? It's so much better. It's not guarded with grind. You know, Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it." The word sorrow actually means labor and toil. It's like your business. Even though you are working, it will feel a joy. It'll feel a pleasure. It'll feel just, because it's so easy. It's so simple with Him. Because He is the Lord of your business. You're just doing what He says. I just see you guys just sitting there and going, "Holy Spirit, what's my instructions today?" He's like, "Just take it easy. I've got this one." I'm like, "Ooh, okay. Oh, I need to respond to that email. Holy Spirit, what do I do with this?" He's like, "Just write this. Just write that." Because you're partnering with Him. You're hearing with Him. It's not just a God's voice, but it's also going and doing it, taking risks. This is a risk-taking church. Awesome. There's healing in the room. It's happening. I really believe there's people with knees. You've got knees, but knees that are... particularly right side, I really felt this morning as I was praying, right knees being healed. So as always, know that God's moving. It's normal in this house for healings to happen. It's normal for this house for cancer to be healed. It's normal. It's normal. In the world, that's not normal. And it's going to become that normal that it's going to become common. So it just happens. Well, you go to that place, you're going to get healed. I even see it as even pointing out with that healing that happened there. Okay, right over there, that spot there, that's where we had a cancer heal. Right over there, at the back there, at the front here, that's where this broken back. Someone got up and walked up there. Some blind eyes were open there. Deaf ears popped open right there, right there, right there, right there. Because God's always moving. Are you willing to partner with Him, what He's already doing? So good. Oh, keep going, worship. It's so awesome. You guys can take a seat. Oh. Holy Spirit. Everyone here that is over the age, I was going to say 60, but I was going to over the age of 50. Can you just stand up? No. Young people. Young people, everyone, I want you to put your hands on them. If you can, you're near them. Put your hands on these ones. I want you to honor them. Yeah. Because as I was singing Revival, they're going, "I remember those days. I remember those days." You guys are going to lead the way with Revival. You guys are leading the way. And the youth are going to look to you and go, "How is the standard meant to be?" Because your ceiling is going to be their floor. Young people, look to them because they have got answers beyond your wisdom currently and your understanding. But their ceiling is going to be your floor. Honor you, each and every one of you that in this age bracket, because God's not finished with you yet. It's not a time to retire, it's a time to refire. Because we need you in the kingdom, yeah, to blaze and set a standard. Come on. Whew. You can take a seat. Oh. I'll just get my stuff. All right. Cool. You can skip to this third slide. God has an accent. Oh, I'm mindful of time. so good. Let's get this open. All right. Awesome. God is so good, and He's in a good mood. It's interesting, God has an accent. Now, I've grown up in church in my life. I grew up in INC in Innisfail in North Queensland, hence why we moved to Cairns, but that wasn't the only reason. Served with Lock and Tara Jones for many years down at Tweed, and known as and Beck for a long time, back in the radio days. Yeah, been back then, wow. And so it's such an honor and a joy to be here. You guys carry such joy, and Revival is just normal. You guys just you're breaking out. So a couple of things. I was early in my learning to hear from God. I learnt it through fishing. If you're a fisherman, you want to know where the fish are. You want to know where the fish are. And God knows where the fish are. So I was about 7 years old, and we had a banana farm in North Queensland. And during school holidays, I'd go out to help my dad work on the farm. And I'm seven, so I didn't really do much work. It was more that we had the Tully River was right next to us, beautiful river full of barramundi and black brim, and I just love fishing. But I knew to catch the right fish, I needed the right bait, and I needed to get worms. So. I couldn't, and it was a dry day, and the ground was hard. And you know, I'm a little guy, and I can't sort of break the ground with the shovel as much as how hard I tried. And I just needed to find some worms. They were easy to find. And I remember going into the shed and found a quiet spot, closed my eyes, and I said, "Holy Spirit, where are these worms?" And a picture came straight on my mind and showed exactly where they were under this tree beside the shed. I'm like, okay, so. Childlike faith, I just grabbed my shovel, grabbed my little bucket, went over to that spot, lifted the leaves off, took the shovel in, opened it up, and it was teeming with worms. I'm like, yeah! I was so excited. I grabbed all these worms and I ran down to the creek and ran to the river and I caught a nice big barramundi. I'm like, yes! Look what God helped me catch. And fast forward that to not so long ago, it was probably about 6 or 7 years ago, when a lot of times in life, things can just heap up on you. When you become an adult, it's like responsibilities hit you, children hit you, right? You know, all the responsibility of life. We were doing a property development this stage, and it was just not going well. We'd ran out of money, and I got the call saying, listen, we're $4,000 short for this month, and we don't have any money left. We can't sort of move it around anymore. We've been robbing Peter to pay Paul. We're just moving money around. So it hit me. I'm so struck with fear. I'm like, because I've always had the ability to pay my bills. I'm like, oh, gee, this has never happened. What do I do? God. That's all I've got to turn to right now. So one of our spare rooms in the house, I went down there, closed the door, laid on the floor. I said, Jesus, help. Holy Spirit, help. Within a minute or two, Holy Spirit says to me, check your queue leave. And I'm like, no, get away from me, distractions. What's that got to do with anything? You know, check. And I kept praying, oh, you know, raka shanda rudo bashanda. I was, you know, speaking in tongues, doing this. And he said, again, check your queue leave. I'm like, okay, so I understand what queue leave is. Queue leave is a portable long service leave of the state government, Queensland government do. So what happens when you're doing construction projects, you've got to pay this tax in advance, and it's based on the value of your construction costs. We had paid this queue leave 12 months before, and we've been working fairly diligently. We hadn't started construction yet, but been working very diligently on reducing our construction costs and finding other ways we can build it and reduce the amount of we had to spend, which is always a good thing. You always, you know, want to make sure you lower your expenses. So we'd done a really sterling effort that when the Holy Spirit said queue leave, I went, hang on. I'm pretty sure that our value of our construction has gone down. Maybe I could get some tax back. So something in this. Ran upstairs, opened my laptop, pulled up my QLeave file, went through it all and saw that our new calculated figures, the difference in it was about $4,000. I'm like, oh. So I'm like, how do I get a refund? I've never done this before. So I contacted QLeave and they answered the phone straight away. Miracle number one. I went, wow, yeah, hi, I'm done. You know, this is the situation. She goes, oh, yeah, that's all right. Just fill this form in. I'll email it to you now. All right. And fill it out and give us your bank account details and we'll deposit in your bank. I'm like, is that all? Yeah, you need any, you know, evidence and all the... Oh, no, that's fine. You just put that in. Oh, how soon can I get that money? Oh, if you get it to me in the next 30 minutes, I'll pay it today. Miracle number two. I'm like, wow, God has the amazing ability to open doors where there seems to be no doors. It was actually more than that. It was 4,400 that came back to us. So God loves to extravagantly bless us. So I like to start with this. God has an accent. Do you know that we all have an accent? If you ever gone to another country, particularly if you go to America, your accent is better than theirs, but you know. Sorry, Americans and Canadians. But God has has an accent. He doesn't. Learning God's language is not so much more about learning a different, like, you know, if you don't understand French or Italian, it's not like learning a whole different language. It's just understanding his accent. And we all speak with an accent. We all have a code book that we, you know, even you not saying anything is a certain accent, a certain look. So God has an accent. When we were in America at one time, and I went to Starbucks and ordered, just normal grande, latte, whatever it was, and they asked my name. And I said, Matt, to write on the cup. I said, can you spell that, sir? M-A-T-T. And she looked at me like, well, it's really strange. Oh, this is going to be fun. Out came bat. On the cup said bat. Oh, wow. My accent must be really strong. So God has an accent, and we just need to tune our heart to him. And it's so simple and so easy to learn his voice. All right. So what we got next? So, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You already hear his voice. You are called by his name. It's like this scripture, if you take it into context, Jesus was referring to the shepherds. They would shepherd the sheep and the goats together, and as the shepherd would walk away, he would just say something in his mouth, and just the sheep would come out and follow. So it's very simple, very easy. When you hear his voice, it's your key to your breakthrough, is hearing his voice and going and doing that. Now, his voice is marked by love. It is marked by his love, because that's who he is. Now, 1 Corinthians, I'm going to bring out, if you've got your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, if you know what 1 Corinthians 13, if you've been to any wedding, you know, they always sort of bring this out. And like, love is patient, love is kind. And you're like, oh, it's so nice. I'm just so glad about this wedding. It's so good, lovely. Yes, it's so lovely. But how it was written, it is sandwiched in between. It's the ham and the sandwich. All right, so either side, chapter 12 and chapter 14, Paul actually talks about the gifts of the Spirit. So this 13 is sitting in the middle. It's saying how you are to administer the gifts of the Spirit. So prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healing, gifts of faith, gifts of miracles, administration, you know, all these gifts that God gives freely to us, this is how the standard is, that love is his standard, because that's who he is. He is love. Right, you cannot have love without a choice. That's why he put two trees in the garden. He gave us a choice. All right, it's not manipulative. It's not God trying to twist your arm to do stuff. It's an invitation from him. So learning his voice, it's always marked by love. It's always marked by his love. So I'm going to just read it out to you. So, okay, it's. I love doing this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, something we do at our prophetic workshops, we run workshops around the country, and one thing I like to do is I just replace the word love with one of the gifts. So I'm just going to replace the word love with prophecy, because if that's the gift, if you're getting a prophetic word, or you're hearing a word for somebody, or you're moving in that gifts of the Spirit, it's love is a standard. So I'm just going to replace the word love with prophecy. Prophecy suffers long and is kind. Prophecy does not envy. Prophecy does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. That's a good one. But rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You can put healing there. You can put words of knowledge there, whatever. But I'm just saying, this is love is the standard of his voice. He always will call you higher. God will never use guilt, shame, and condemnation against you. That is the accuser. All right, and I like to say this, not every thought that you get is your own. Not every thought that you receive is actually your own. The enemy loves to give you a thought and remind you of your past or what you have done or the fear of the future. Right? If you know what God's voice is because it comes with authority, it comes with peace, love and joy. All right. When the enemy speaks, it's laced with fear, manipulation, control, accusation, intimidation. Not every thought you have is your own. The spirit realm operates at the speed of thought. There you go. I'll leave that one there for you. Leave that one hanging. Put a pin in that one. It operates at the speed of thought. And a lot of times, the very thoughts that you have that are negative, that are that want to try and drag you down, is the very enemy of accusation. Because he is the accuser of the brethren. He loves to hold you down to say, you can't do that. Oh, you remember what you did back then? It's like, when you are saved, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The word new creation, that word new is the Greek word novo, which means prototype, which means you are an individual of you. You are a prototype, an individual, right? It means what the world has not seen. When you became saved, that and behold, you are a new creation, that transformation from darkness to light, is the same word metamorphosis, all right, which is the same used for a caterpillar. All right, before you were saved, you were a caterpillar. Rumming around, all right? But then when you became saved, you turned into a butterfly. In that process of metamorphosis, that transformation taking place, the old caterpillar DNA has to die. And the new DNA of the butterfly emerges. It's a whole new DNA that you have. All right. This is so important when you're hearing from God, because you can hear from him so easy. So I want to just share Moses in the burning bush. In Exodus 3, now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. All right, so out he's there, and he's out in the wilderness, and the bush starts burning, and he says, it got his attention. And then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Now, he saw it already, but then he turned aside. That turning aside was that posture of his heart that he said, I will now look with intent at this seemingly burning bush and try and wonder why it's not burning. It's burning, but it's not burning. So it's this awe and wonder. You know, you're a sign and you are a wonder to those around you. When you begin to step out in the fullness of your calling, people begin to see and say, I wonder why you're like that. That's why they come and ask you questions. So why do you do that? It's like you're same like Moses encountering God at the burning bush. And when he did that and looked with intent, then God spoke. Then he spoke. Seemingly, you already get distractions, some more distractions than others. Good distractions. Right, might be something you'd be driving, you just get someone just drop into your heart. Like, oh, that person, pray for them. Send them a text, encourage them. Might be something, oh, gee, I've got to remember to get this. God loves to work before you and loves to prepare your day. He loves to do this for you. So it's like when you look with intent, then God speaks. It's just a key to hearing God's voice. It's that posture in your heart. One thing I teach business guys is when you get a bad email, for example, and you're like, oh, I'm going to react to this. It's like, Just swivel your chair, posture your heart and say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. When you feel his peace, then go back to the problem. The Prince of Peace guards your heart, and it's beyond all human reasoning and understanding. So, what do you hear? So these are some of these questions. Not God uses every aspect of you as a person. It's not, you know, yes, read this Bible. Read it. If you don't have one, please talk to these guys. Get you a Bible. Because in his word is so full of life and joy. You'll get to instructions of what you need to do. I always find every time God speaks, he never contradicts his word. And when he do, sometimes you actually go back and you're like, help me understand this. Because sometimes you think he's contrary to the word, and you go to the scripture and you're like, oh, that's so good. I didn't see it like that. All right, what do you hear? So a lot of times I've heard God's voice audibly. It was that loud one time. I even turned to the person beside me and said, are you hearing this? And he's like, no. I went, my God, it's just me. All right. Yes, Lord. Similar to what Samuel experienced in the Bible when he was in the house of the Lord with Eli. I have hearing sounds to me, like I'll hear a song. Now, right now, if I just say, just want you to hear a song. First song that pops in your head. All right, you might have a song right now. No one else can hear that song, just you. When you hearing God's voice sounds a little bit like you, your own voice, that inner voice. And it interrupts you sometimes. So hearing a voice can be a sound, can be an audible voice, can be that inner voice, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. As I say, so what do you hear? What are you hearing? Because he uses our very senses and our very makeup in order for us just to hear his voice. Another one we do, and if I had more time, we'd go deeper than that. I'd give you some activations. But what do you see is the next one. What do you see? Something that God even spoke to Ezekiel and said, prophet, what do you see? What do you see? And he started to see in the spirit. He's like, okay, I see this and this and that. So what I mean by that is you have a redeemed imagination. It's like you have a blank canvas in your imagination, and God will project images, his images, on them. All right, sometimes you get some evil images put there. And remember, not every thought you have is your own. You can grab that thought and say, I'm not partnering with that. Get away from me. All right, that's why he said, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All right? You need to capture and prison them and say, I'm not partnering with that rubbish, and put it away. All right? Okay? So you see things on the screen of your imagination, and you will see, some people see open vision, so as in like you're standing there, your eyes are open, and like a movie screen like this will show, and no one else can see it, just you. You're like, whoa, this. And generally I see it on, sometimes I'll see it on top of someone's head. It's like a screen showing of their life, showing, oh, this is like highlight reel of their life. Sometimes for me, I know other people see it differently. In the Bible talks about trances. I know some people that will just get lost in God and they'll have a trance and get consumed by him. Even God takes them to heaven and does some really rad stuff. Read the Bible in Acts. Happened to Peter. Right. This stuff is normal. It's very normal for this stuff to happen. Right. That's just some of the ways. Next one is, what do you know? All right. Any know-it-alls in the room? Care to admit, come on, there's more than that. Is a bold enough one to step up and say, I'm a know-it-all. But knowing you're a knower, as in you are not Noah as in the Bible, Noah the flood. So Noah, right, is you can't explain how you know, you just know. You have this inner gut intuition that things are going to work out. Or you just know that this is going to happen. God hasn't spoken to you, you haven't heard it, you haven't seen it, you haven't felt it, but you know that you know that you know. This is the way. We need to walk in this. In times, sometimes you may feel unspiritual because you're like, well, I just know. So in your knowing, God uses this for all of us. It's like, what do I hear? What do I see? What do I know? Because just these are some of these questions are just ways that you can simplify and ask God questions. Okay, I'm in this situation. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to hear right now? What do you want me to see? Is there anything I need to know? Just ask him simple questions. And he loves to encounter his kids. And the last one here is, what do you feel? I love feelers. Have you ever walked any of those? Have you walked into a room and you feel the tension? Even though you weren't there when the tension happened, but you can feel something's not right. Yeah, has anyone done that? All right. Feelers, you can pick up other people's pain and other people's anguish. You can feel that. You're tuned into the emotions of God. God loves to use your emotions. We've been told, you know, a lot of time in church, well, you know, God, you've got to be led by the Spirit and shut those emotions down. It's got to be Spirit. I'm like, God uses it all. Your physical body, your soul, everything. Even says, you know, why are you downcast, my soul? Get up and worship God. Your spirit's the leader. Your soul just comes into line. All right, but he still uses all that. He still uses your emotions. It's taking note of that, what you feel. Sometimes I love tapping into, if you're a feeler, I love tapping into these moments because you can feel, you get words of knowledge. They come in the form of like pseudo pain. If you're a feeler, when you walk into a room, know you're normal before you walk into a room. If you walk into a room and suddenly you get a sore shoulder or a sore something, you're like, I didn't have that before. It's like, oh, God's speaking. Oh, God's speaking. Who's in the room here that needs this healed? You know, I got this pain. I know it's not mine. Somebody here. I've been and you can be sitting there in your chair. And there was one lady, I was just sitting in the back, in the middle somewhere, like over there, and in a church. And I'm just sitting there and I went, and this excruciating pain just shot through the back and then stopped. I'm like, that's not me. And I'm like, I felt like running up to the stage. I went, Pastor, I've got this word. I went, no, it's someone around me. These guys don't know. I'm the random person from the street walking. I'm like, I've got a word. No, I'm not doing that. I'm like, God, is there someone around me? So I just turned around. I said, hey, you got a problem in your back? She's like, yeah, I do. It's been crippling. I'm like, God wants to heal you today. She's like, oh, yeah, thank you. I just had this word of knowledge. Come on. And her husband was there, prayed for her, and all pain left her body. All pain left the body. When you're at work, when you're doing this stuff, it doesn't happen to happen here. Right? You can get a word for somebody and like, hey, I'm just wondering, is your shoulder okay? It's like, oh, why do you ask? Oh, I just really felt that, you know, I've seen people being prayed for and they've been healed with things like this. Do you mind me if I pray for you? This is what it looks like to hear God and then go and do it. Okay? What do you hear? What do you see? What do you know? What do you feel? As we close today, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, you're here. I just want you to close your eyes. God's speaking to you. He's speaking to you right now. He's reminding you of who you are. He's reminding you of your calling. He's reminding you of how in love with you he is. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you because he loves you. There's nothing more that you need to do to earn his love. There's nothing that you need to do because the price has already been paid. If you're a believer here today, take note of what he's saying to you. Maybe there's someone he's put on your heart. Maybe he's just reminding you of this person. Just ask, how can I encourage that person? How can I give that person a word? If you're getting some pseudo pain, you're like, I didn't have that pain walking in. I want you to, when we close, I want you to ask the people around you, is this pain? Is this something for you? And step out, take a risk. Step out and pray for them. See God heal them. Holy Spirit, thank you, you're moving. Just keep your eyes closed. If there's any of you here today And you're like, yeah, I've been bombarded with those thoughts, those negative thoughts, that I'm not good enough, that I can't do it. I'm not even worthy to be here. If you haven't made that commitment for Jesus, you haven't surrendered your heart for Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Maybe you've been with Jesus and you're like, you know what, I want to recommit my heart to Him. I want to resurrender. He loves that. So just as we're here today, if that's you, so I just want to surrender my heart, I want to surrender my mind, I want to surrender everything to you. Just put up your hand. Just very quickly as I look over this place. Just raise your hand and say, that's me. Yeah, Matt, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to pray this prayer after me. Holy Spirit, set me on fire. I don't want to be just a little flame. I want to be a whole burning fire. Set me alight. I can shine your light into the world. I surrender all again and again. Thank you. It's easy to hear your voice. And I hear you so easily. You can open your eyes. Thank you, Lord. I just want to bless this scripture on you guys and release it over you. Romans 8, verse 14 to 16, out of the Passion Translation. It says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. The impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned. For as He rises up within us, our spirits join Him in saying the words of tender affection. Beloved Father, for the Holy Spirit makes fatherhood real to us as He whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. It's also, I really felt, as I'm praying this morning, there was one here that you've just recently lost your dad, natural dad. I just want to encourage you today. He's the best dad. Your dad might have done some things wrong. God's redeeming this time. I just want to release and bless that. Is that you? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He loves you because He loves you. His fatherhood is so real. I know you had a good dad. He was really good. Yeah. He is really good. Papa God, He's in His arms. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. You're going to have cool adventures with Him. It's going to be like you're a child again. Yeah. He's like, come, let me show you some stuff. It's like He's taking you by the hand and He's walking you through. but like seriously, like, I just feel like a little kid again. It's like, see you guys, and your marriage is going to be so childlike. Yeah, so childlike. And you're like, it's going to seem crazy to others, but that's a key to the kingdom, staying childlike. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. I just want to stay here. These guys are amazing. Oh, such beautiful hearts. So awesome. Wow. God's reconciling us back to his heart. Reconciling us back to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How do you close this? That's what I know. Guys, if you want prayer for anything, we can pray with you, pray for you. I know there's a ministry team here. I know this concludes our broadcast day kind of thing. But I just want to affirm you guys, you're already hearing from him. So, this is an open heaven in this place. You're not struggling at all. This is like, God's revival is just breaking out in everywhere among you guys. I see you guys taking risks that are unusual. Like, well, I heard his voice. I'm going to have a crack. I'm going to have a go. I'm going to step out. Well, because anything's possible. Yeah, because you know who you are and whose you are. Thank you, guys. Can you give it up for Matt? Hey, Matt, just want you to stay here. I want to pray for Matt. And I know you say, I'm not a pastor. I'm a businessman. Not a pastor. But I want to pray for your ministry, that God will just continuously use you up in Cairns and all over the country. It's really beautiful. I think you're spot on. You know, just for you to know, church. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we actually had I don't know if they're here today. They said they were going to come back, but there was actually a gentleman walked in our church, and he said, "I've been looking for a church that believes in healing." And actually, that week, Beck, you don't know our story, but my uncle Bruce is going through chemo at the moment. And Beck actually prayed on that day against cancers and tumors. We didn't know this, but 2 weeks later, this couple came in, and I haven't shared this with you, church, but this guy came to us and said, "Hey, I stepped into your church and God was speaking to me through that prayer." He said, "Only 2 days ago, I had a skin cancer come up on my nose the size of a pea." And he said, "I knew it was skin cancer because I've had skin cancers before. I knew it was bad. Went to the doctor and they said, this is bad. It's going to be, you're going to have an operation." And he said, "But I felt God hit me in that church service." And he said, "I went back and they said, they did another scan. They said, it's just scar tissue. We can't explain it. It's gone." And I believe that God's healing power is here. And I believe it's just the start, of something incredible. And it's interesting, maybe I didn't explain myself, I believe that we hear from God in this church, but I want us to all hear clearly. Because when a church is hearing clearly, then we can actually activate our faith in the community. And such an encouragement just to hear your stories of faith. And so I just want to pray for Matt. Can we just pray for Matt and his family? Father, I thank you for Matt. I thank you that you brought him to our church today. It wasn't by coincidence. You brought him here. You knew he was coming here before he was even born. This was already in the calendar. God, I pray a blessing over him and his business, over the ministry he has. God, I pray for more supernatural moments where he can just go to you and in an instant, God says, "Hey, why not dig under that tree? Why not do that right there?" But God, I also pray an expansion of the ministry through your word of preaching the word. Matt, I think you sometimes underestimate what God wants to do in the ministry side, even though you've been called to the marketplace. And sometimes you wonder how I find the balance. But God is going to give you that clarity. Bless him. Bless his family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can we give it up for Matt? Hey,
Matt has a book. It's called How to Hear from God at Work. This was in my bedroom, as I said, about, I don't know, 7 weeks ago. And I don't even know how it got there. I can't remember you giving it to. I don't know where it came from. You probably sent it to me. Yeah, you broke into my house and put it there. But hey, if you want to get your hands on it, it's just $25. Go and pick up one of these books. $20. Oh, it's cheaper. God just blessed you all. All right. Guys, we are going to wrap up today, but I've never felt my spirit more that God wants to do something in our church. And I'm going to say, come back tonight. Yes. Come back tonight. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak. You know, oh man. His presence is so thick right now. And, hey, if you need a touch from God, just stand up. If you need a refreshing, just stand up and lift your hands towards heaven right now. If you need a touch from God, just stand up. Holy Spirit, we need you. God, we need you. God, I pray for a fresh touch on this church, on individuals in this room that are dry and stagnant and wondering where you are, God. God, I pray that you open our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes to see you, God, in our day-to-day. And God, I pray against any words of negativity that have been spoken, that prophetic words spoken out of condemnation and fear. God, I speak to this room that, God, you only speak through love, through love, through love. Your love is real. God, we thank you for your love. Hey, Sophie Mack. God wants to speak to you right now. He loves you so much, hey. Not only does he love you so much, he sees your future and you don't need to be worried about it, because you've got such incredible gifting on your life. You're so gifted. He's placed in your heart huge things. And he wants you to know that in this next season, as you step out of school, he's with you every step of the way. He actually wants to hold your hand. Actually, see it like this. When you learn to ride a bike, dad's on the side holding on to the, you know, and it's like, okay, am I going to let go? Am I going to let go? Am I going to... And God's like, just ride. Just ride, just move. Just move, just ride, just trust me, just trust me, just trust me. And the second you start to move and you start to ride, you're going to start to just... little step of faith. And he loves you. He's your dad. I know you got a great dad. But he's a whole other level of dad. Steve, God sees you, mate. He's strengthening your bones. And what I mean by that, he's raising you up in this time of trial for great things. You just got to trust him. Actually, see, for you, Steve, the same word that Matt had when he went into that room and said, God, where are the worms? Where's the provision? Where's the breakthrough? Where's the thing? Show me the supernatural edge for my business. And he's going to bring it. And he's going to show it. And then what's great about this is when he shows it and you start activating it and people start seeing the success, you won't have anything in you except the testimony of, I don't know, just God showed me. It's not about you, Steve. It's about allowing God to work through you. And he's going to. He's going to show up when you start to just completely rely on him. Go to that quiet place. Cam. God sees your joyful spirit. You know, there's something, you know, I feel like not many people know Cam, but God sees Cam. And you've got so much on your life. I see ministry on your life, actually. And I don't know if anyone's ever brought that to you before, but yes, teaching and having the ability to bring and all this, but God has ministry on your life. And it's kind of laid dormant a little bit. I don't know, family's busy, but God's saying, hey, I just want you to dip your toes in again. I don't know if that means studying. I'd see maybe some study of the, like Bible college or something. I don't know. You might be like, not more study. I don't know, but I'm done with study. But God's saying, prepare yourself because I've called you to be able to bring the Word of God. It's almost like a season of just preparing. And, you know, start praying, God, what is it? What does it look like? What does it look like? Holy Spirit, we thank you for this morning. God, we are expectant for you to speak. Thank you for being so present. God, we pray that you would speak like never before in this next week. That you would be our go-to every moment of the day before responding or being reactive, just turn to you like Matt said, allowing the peace of God to guide our heart and our mind first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.